Now, after 53 weeks on the Billboard 200 Hot Country Songs list, Maren Morris's song The Bones made it to the top spot this week.
It's her first number one hit on that chart. She's the first woman to rule it solo in about 3.5 years. The song has also reached the top of several other country music lists.
Her achievement is a big win for those who say country music is biased toward male artists, especially on the radio. A University of Ottawa professor concluded that female artists made up just 10% of airplay on country stations in 2019, and when they did get on the air, it tended to happen during off hours.
Industry executives say fans prefer male voices, but new polling shows the vast majority of country radio listeners say women should get the same airtime as men.
Our next guest wrote a column in USA Today saying radio stations need to do a lot better. Ken Paulson is a professor of the Recording Industry Department and director of the Free Speech Center at Middle Tennessee State University. He's a former editor-in-chief at USA Today. Ken, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Glad to be with you.
Well, how big a deal is it, before we get into the numbers at radio stations, that the top song in country music right now is by a woman?
Well, it's symbolic, but it's almost more symbolic of the lack of women on radio than anything else, that it becomes essentially a news story that a woman finally got to number one in country radio. It's been a long dry spell for creative women and even women, who are 30 or 35. Country music has not been particularly embracing of either diversity or of age, and certainly not of women.
And we've seen a couple comments over the years from industry insiders. One country music programmer mentioned that there was a rule that they couldn't play two female artists back to back. And then in 2015, a consultant named Keith Hill said, I'm going to quote here, "If you want to make ratings in country radio, take females out. I play great female records. They're just not the lettuce in our salad. The lettuce is Luke Bryan and Blake Shelton, Keith Urban, and artists like that. The tomatoes of our salad are the females." These were comments not well received by many, I think.
No, it was, in fact, it inspired an entire movement in Nashville. A group of three industry veterans, women, formed a group called Change the Conversation, which really meant, can we please stop talking about why women are not on the air? And so what we're seeing now is with great frequency, a member of the radio industry will say something incredibly stupid, and then someone like Casey Musgraves lets them have it, and then we have another round of news coverage. And in part, that's what led to this column in USA Today that we're talking about today.
It seems like there's some self-fulfilling prophecy here. If you say, well, women aren't popular, so they're not going to be on our station very much, and if nobody hears women on the stations that play country music, then it's going to be hard for women to get popular. Is that the cycle we're in?
Yeah, well, that's exactly right. And when radio stations say, hey, we play women, and then you look at when they play women, and you realize it's after midnight and before 6 a.m. So people are not catching on creatively. Talented people who otherwise should have an audience, but they're not getting played enough. We all know the nature of pop music anyway. You know, songs that you didn't even like the first time you heard it, after you've heard it 200 times, you get married to it. You know, it's just, it's going to be a song in your head for the rest of your life. If women are not on country radio, there's no habit building. There's nobody's calling in a request line to say, I need to hear this fabulous new song by Brandi Clark.
Talking to Ken Paulson from Middle Tennessee State University, he wrote a column at USA Today looking at the lack of women on country music radio. This has been an ongoing issue. I want to get back to Maren Morris. Now, that song, The Bones, we heard a bit of, spent two consecutive weeks on top of the media-based chart. First time since 2012 that a woman had pulled off that feat. Here's what Morris had to say on Twitter. She wrote, 2 weeks at number one. If I can be honest, I really thought the only way this could ever happen is if I was the feature artist on a guy's song. Sitting here seeing my name at the top of the chart at all is rare, but to break this 8-year streak just feels so unbelievable. It's notable, but it seems like everybody knows how rare this is, and nothing seems to change, Ken.
Well, that's what's so maddening about country radio. You know, when other industries get accused of being sexist, or white, you know, that you heard all the Oscars so white talk. The Academy Awards quickly kicked into action. Public relations people, statements of apology. We're going to fix this. We're going to get more diversity into the Academy. Throughout industries, people are conscious of when they're being criticized, and immediately they circle the wagons and then hire a PR person. Radio doesn't do that. It just shrugs. It says things like, well, our listeners don't want to hear women, so we don't play women. It's an industry without shame, and what's so remarkable, it's just a clear bias against female performers, and they just act like it's business as usual. It's really quite shameful.
Is this just a radio thing, or is this a wider thing, do you think, in the country music industry?
Well, country radio has always been a force unto itself. You know, you think about the pop radio that an entire generation listened to, 60s, 70s. You could turn on the radio and you would hear Earth, Wind & Fire and the Motown records, all those black artists. You would hear Charlie Rich and Merle Haggard and country artists. And you would hear every possible version of music because if it was cool, if it was fun, if you could dance to it, it got on the radio. Well, there's been retrenchment in pop where more and more the music sounds the same. But in country, they never opened the doors. They had, you know, one black artist named Charlie Pride who was successful. And then there'd be others over time. Darius Rucker recently has been successful in country music. But, you know, even now we have like three charting black artists. And so we've lost ground on women, but also not made any significant progress in terms of diversity in country music. Now, what they will tell you, country radio programmers will tell you, they've got studies. They ask their listeners what they want to hear. And that sounds to me a lot like blaming the audience, saying, well, they're not willing to embrace diversity, so we're not. You know, there's an affirmative duty to use the public airwaves, as you well know, at Wisconsin mm-hmm. Public Radio, to better the community, to serve the public, to serve all the public. And when they've decided it's in their interest not to play women, first of all, they may be wrong. But secondly, how do you write off an entire gender and act like you're living up to the obligations you have under the license from the FCC?
Well, on top of that, there's a poll. I think this came out last month from Country Music Television. They found that 84% of country music listeners say at least women should get equal airplay as men. 28% said they'd listen to country radio more if women were better represented. So at least according to that one poll by, you know, an interested country music outlet, there is some appetite out there, it sounds like.
Oh, absolutely. And the brilliance of artists in country music today. I mean, there are so many phenomenal people. Brandi Carlile is one, you know, one of the most talented women on the planet. She should be the, you know, the counterpart to Lady Gaga or Carrie Underwood in her genre, but it's just not happening. Carrie Underwood, by the way, is the one exception. I mean, she's a woman who's constantly on the charts, not number one, but there are always those. There are three or four women who do get airplay, and that allows radio to point to that and say, see, we do play women. But it has never been a very embracing kind of format. And, you know, Dolly Parton, as talented as she is, always played second fiddle to, pardon the pun, to Porter Wagoner. And she had to really fight to break out from under his shadow. Women were treated as wives or people who were cheated on, and there have rarely been independent voices in country music for women. Now they're just like no voices for women.
Now, Reba McEntire, another big name, the only woman ranked on Billboard's top 10 country music artists of all time. She was asked last year before hosting the Academy of Country Music Awards. She was interviewed on PBS NewsHour. She was asked about the nominees for Entertainer of the Year all being men. Here's a listen.
Disappointing. Didn't surprise me. But when anything like that happens, I just know us gals, we got to work harder. We got to support each other. We got to get in there next year. It's got to change.
And this year, Carrie Underwood, one of the five nominees. But I don't know. I imagine women in country music are already working pretty hard.
Right. I mean, I was surprised to hear Reba, you know, kind of say, you know, it's up to us to make a difference. I mean, it's great that women are unified and we're hearing more voices and more you know, loud voices from female artists, but the industry as a whole has got to feel some shame. The executives, whether they're men or women, have to say, this is just wrong. This is 2020. You know, this is our Me Too, and we have to fix it. And that is not happening. I do give credit to CMT. You mentioned them earlier. They have promised to play 50% women in their videos. The only downside is CMT doesn't play a lot of videos anymore. It's other programming. But their heart is in the right place. They're taking a stand, and we need more of that.
This is Central Time. I'm Rob Barrett.
And I'm Jay Carlisle Larson. That was Fancy by Reba McEntire, a big hit for her back in 1990.
We're looking at a gender gap in country music, especially on the radio. According to recent data, women artists make up only 10% of the airplay on country stations, and that tends to happen in off hours. We're talking to Ken Paulson, professor of the Recording Industry Department at Middle Tennessee State University. He wrote about this in USA Today.
And we want to hear from you at 800-642-1234. Are you a fan of country music? How do you feel about the industry's gender gap? Do you find yourself gravitating more to songs by men or women? You can tell us about your favorite female artist, past or present, and why you are into her at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. You can also post on the Ideas Network Facebook page.
Let's go to a caller. Daryl is with us in Poinette. Daryl, hi.
Hi.
What'd you want to bring up?
Well, I wanted to bring up the deal that there's no female instrumentalists like there are men instrumentalists in country music. When's the last time you heard of somebody like Barbara Mandrell, who plays steel guitar fantastically well, but who else?
Daryl, thanks for the call. Yeah, we focus a lot on the vocalists in country music as much as anywhere else. Ken, how about the backing bands?
Well, it's interesting you should say that, because you would almost say there's a conspiracy against instrumentals, period. We all remember dueling banjos. What's the last country music instrumental you've ever heard be a hit in America? It's been a while. Instrumentals are something that have all fallen out of fashion. I will tell you, though, here's the good news. People like Rhonda Vincent and so many other talented instrumentalists are alive and well in a genre called Americana. Americana music is a melding of folk and rock and alternative country music. And there's a lot of great instrumentalists there doing very well. You know, Alison Krauss is a good example of that. There are people who also sing and play and have been successful. So it may be that country music has decided it's going to be all about young men singing about women in cutoffs and drinking a lot. But there's still a lot of great music out there. You just have to look a little harder.
Bring on another caller. Thanks, Daryl. We'll go to Kate now in Barneveld. Kate, hi.
Hi. I'm going to ask a question / comment, and then I'm probably going to listen off the air because I'm driving. So my daughter, my teen daughter, is very into country music and extremely involved in supporting the female, especially the female singers that she is interested in. And as an older person, I'm just wondering what kind of message this exclusion or suppression of women in country music is sending, particularly to our next generation of listeners.
And Kate, before I let you go, I want to ask, does your teen daughter, you know, wait for it to come to her on radio, or does she seek out these artists on, you know, a streaming service or SoundCloud or whatever?
Everything, all of the above. She'll get it any way she can. I don't feel like she, you know, is limited just to what's playing on the radio. But at the same time, what's playing on the radio, you know, is influencing what she's more likely to hear. And if somebody was not quite as passionate or aggressive about seeking it out, you know, she's involved more in some country music, especially women in country music communities online and stuff. And so she has those opportunities because she seeks them out.
Kate, thanks a lot for the call. I really appreciate that. Couple points I want to get into, Ken. First, her question, which is, what message does this send to young fans like her daughter?
Yeah, that's a great point. I appreciate the mention of it. There have been a number of women executives in country music who have made exactly that point. It just says your voice doesn't count. If you do not hear people like you on the radio, we're really saying your voice doesn't count. And, you know, I'm a little conscious here that I'm talking about sexism in the radio industry. And I'm a white male. But I tell you what drives my passion about this is that I do First Amendment work, free speech work. And what they are doing is saying to an entire gender, you have no voice here. You have no place here. Nothing, no ideas that you have that you can set to music are valuable. And it is absolutely a violation of the principles of free expression in America. And it's a terrible lesson for the next generation.
Thanks a lot for that call. Ken Paulson is with us from Middle Tennessee State University, looking at data showing women on country music stations, they get about 10% of the airplay when they get played. It's very often in the off hours, not when people are necessarily listening. Back to your calls now. William is with us in Madison. William, hi.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. I'm just curious if this is a situation just in country music or is it seen across all genres of music?
William, thanks a lot for the call. And that's been nagging at me a little as we're talking here, Ken. You know, pop music, where would pop music be without Beyoncé's and Rihanna's and Lizzo's and things like that? But if I think about big parts of rock history, the kind of the music that I tune into, that seems like more the exception to hear women on a classic rock station, say.
Well, there's a couple of different issues there. You know, some of the hard rock bands of the 70s, for whatever reason, the Journeys of the World, for whatever reason, they have retained more influence. But if you go back and listen to oldies radio in any market, you're going to hear plenty of Supremes. You're going to hear a ton of Motown. You're going to hear the OJs. So I don't think classic rock is necessarily representative. There are other formats that actually are diverse, and they're just called oldies radio or R&B radio. Having said that, I think what we're looking at in the industry is over time, there's been a lot more reducing the playlist and a lot less risk-taking. And anybody who's worked in radio will tell you there was a time when there was a legendary DJ who would put together their show and decide who to play. I mean, that's part of the legend of Elvis Presley, that Dewey Phillips said, I'm playing this local kid's record. That doesn't happen anymore. You know, they get told what to play. And so the problem is not just a lack of diversity in the musical field. It's largely not a problem. But the problem is what they play. One other point I'd make about current pop music, which also can be repetitive and has a sound that is distinct to this era. But we have extraordinarily prominent young women, we have extraordinarily prominent young men, we have gays, we have people who flirt with every possible orientation. It's incredibly diverse in pop radio. Now, ironically, where it's not diverse is the sound, but the people who make the music are tremendously diverse, and I think we have to acknowledge that.
Time for one more caller. Karen is with us in Augusta. Karen, hello.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. Great topic, by the way. I'd just like to comment that I like the girl power songs. Fancy, The Hand That Rocks the Cradle Rules the World, Jennifer Nettles, We Do It in Heels. All those girl power songs are a great time to listen to.
Karen, do you want to hear more of that kind of thing on the radio?
Yes.
All right. Well, there's one audience member, Ken, who wants more of that kind of thing.
I'm confident that as women begin to speak up more, it'll show up in their music. And that's what you're really talking about, the power of music to make an impact, to deliver a message. And we need a lot more of that.
Time for one more caller. She was very concise. Heather is with us in Kaukauna. Heather, hello.
Hello.
What's your question or comment?
I was wondering if the Dixie Chicks had any influence when they were ostracized in the 90s for their political comment. Do you think that had any repercussions for future women being afraid?
That's a great question. It actually happened in 2004, I believe, and their political stance was not, you know, obviously embraced when they said they were embarrassed that President Bush was from Texas on the eve of the Iraq War. It actually, to me, symbolizes just the same problem that's going on forever. When women decide to take a stand in culture, there's a lot more pushback than against men. So, for example, when they made their remarks, it was widely shunned. But when Loretta Lynn in 1974 sang about the pill, that was also banned. Women who cross into politics inevitably get blacklisted or bumped off the air. It's actually pretty tragic.
Thanks a lot for that call. And Ken, thanks a lot for joining us today.
My absolute pleasure. Thank you so much.
That's Ken Paulson, professor of the Recording Industry Department at Middle Tennessee State University. We talked to him about a gender gap on country music radio.